Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. Good morning, St. Michael's.
Good morning.
I bring you greetings from across the park from my home parish, St. James. I give thanks to your clergy for the invitation to be here, even if right now preaching seems to not be for the faint at heart. Not because it's hard to speak truth to the gospel, because it's not, but because each week it seems we have to reckon with all the other less than truths that are swirling about in the ether. Preaching is an exercise in speaking truth to God's power, reminding ourselves of God's grace, and the continual need to push ourselves towards a gospel that calls for reconciliation, that cries out for repair. Yet out in the world, there is the omnipresent empire, both in Jesus' time and our own. Empire that tries to control the narrative, attempts to bolster itself by any means necessary. Empire who tells us that what we see with our own eyes isn't happening. What we know with our hearts is a defect. Tells us compassion is weakness and empathy a sin. Empire who gives dog whistles and callbacks to propaganda of a darker time, AI images meant to inflame. And then there are the outright lies. And so we come together on this Sunday morning moment to try to make sense of it all, to remind ourselves of the path and our place on it, to affirm a faith that rebukes the evils that we do, those done on our behalf. But today, what is interesting to me, what stands out as we celebrate the feast of the Blessed Absalom Jones, is how far we've managed not to come. How here in the present the echoes of the past seem even louder. As the talking heads would say, same as it ever was. Blessed Absalom, you know his story, the first black man ordained to the priesthood in the Episcopal Church way back in 1802. That in itself feels like cause for celebration. But to start there doesn't tell the whole tale, doesn't do his story justice. Perhaps it gives this church more credit than it is due. You see, the story of Absalom starts much earlier. As a child born into a country that decided that some of God's children should be owned by others, that their bodies could be bound with shackles and forced to work under the most deplorable of conditions, that they could be treated harshly because others declared that they were property and not people, and refused to see them as fellow children of God. Absalom himself was enslaved, and when he grew up, he married an enslaved woman. And he worked to ensure that she was free long before he was. Because if his wife was free, then their children would be free, and their children's children would be free. And because he was a church-going man, he found himself in the pews at St. George's Methodist Church in Philadelphia. Because St. George's allowed everyone to worship under his roof, both blacks and whites. Over time, the pews got so full that the church decided to build a balcony so that even more people could worship, could come and hear the word of God. And one Sunday when he had come in and kneeled down to pray, well, let me tell you what happened in the words of Absalom's friend, Richard Allen. And I quote, "We had not been long upon our knees before I heard considerable scuffling and low talking. I raised my head up and I saw one of the trustees having hold of Absalom Jones, pulling him up off his knees and saying, 'You must get up, you must not kneel here.' Mr. Jones replied, 'Wait until prayer is over.' The man repeated, 'No, you must get up now, or I will call for aid and send you away.' Mr. Jones said, 'Wait until prayer is over, and I will get up and trouble you no more.' And that is just what he did. When given the order that he had to now worship from the balcony, when faced with the reality that his participation in worship and acceptance by these people of faith was conditioned on the color of his skin, Absalom Jones stood, walked out of the doors of St. George's, and never returned. That Absalom Jones was ordained in the Episcopal Church, that the church decided to ordain him to minister to a growing number of Black Episcopalians, that's the part we take pride in. But we don't talk as much about the fact that the church he founded, the African Episcopal Church of St. Thomas, church that still exists today, was only allowed to affiliate with the Episcopal Church as long as they agreed that they would receive neither voice nor vote at convention. That wasn't the Methodists, that was our church. Unfortunately, we have had the opportunity to learn and grow. In the present, I am thankful that we are a part of a church who in this time stands up with voice and action to make clear that what is happening around us is not normal, that it falls outside the gospel. We are part of a church that does not stay silent and reminds us that we are called to commit ourselves to the work of justice. But if preaching is not for the faint at heart, then perhaps our witness at this time is much the same. Because while we may have thought that we're living at a different time than Absalom's, that we had made progress since the days of separate worship and water fountains, these days I am not so sure. It would be naive to think that we had moved past all of that, that the hate had been buried or forgotten. Clearly, nothing has left us, which makes it all the more meaningful to take the opportunity to celebrate the feast of the Blessed Absalom Jones. This is a man who, with his life, bore witness to a God who doesn't make distinctions between God's children, even as the church did. A man who decided that his conscience and faith demanded that he neither go along nor get along. Instead, he shines a mirror on ourselves so we might consider our part in it all. In the work of freeing ourselves from the bond of every prejudice and fear, it seems like we have a long way to go. So may we gather our courage and take bold steps towards the world that God wants, without turning our heads at every distraction designed to wear us down and obfuscate the path. Let the gospel point the way towards a sacrificial love that knows the real cost of changing systems and overthrowing empire. Let us together chart this course toward repair. We are a church that has learned to call out systemic sin instead of embracing it. We are a people who see the work of repair as our God-given work to do. Maybe we think that the progress we've made meant our work was over, but now we know that we must redouble our efforts. So may we all be people who make God's love real in our lives when we declare that we seek and serve Christ in all persons, and we strive for justice and peace and respect the dignity of every human being. And on this, his feast day, may we give thanks for the witness of the blessed Absalom Jones. May his presence in our great cloud of witnesses serve not as a celebration, but as a beacon of hope as we continue the path, for we still have far to go. Amen.